Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I'm Yada. Each weekday here on GCN, we strive to expose the destructive myths which are associated with religion and politics, patriotism and the media, and with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to understand what is occurring behind these headlines, all while predicting how these events that they describe will shape our world over the next 10 to 15 years. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through evidence and reason, since His is the lone reliable voice in an exceedingly troubled world. Our telephone number, toll free, if you'd like to participate in this discussion or challenge anything you hear over the next 2 hours, is 877-300-7645. During our program yesterday in the news hour, we were considering the misguided approach that American politicians were taking to Apple in particular for having paid a measly $6 billion in federal income tax. Since Apple's headquarters is in California, that would mean that they paid another $2 million in California income tax, and all total probably paid another million or two in FICA and other kinds of federal and state taxes, including property taxes. If you were to consider duties on their import goods, that number probably reaches 20 or 30 billion. So, just taking the income tax side of it, we're dealing with $8 billion with Apple, and yet the leaders in Washington decided that rather than thank them, they should scold them. That's how upside down our country has become. We read a quote from Robert Reich. He's the little Hitler type, kind of more, I guess, Napoleon type, little surly guy that was labor secretary for Bill Clinton. This is his attitude. It conveys the attitude of really most politicians who have never earned an honest dime in their life. What global companies are doing right now is playing one country off against another on taxes, on wages, on subsidies, said Robert Reich, former President Clinton's labor secretary and now at the University of California at Berkeley. Quote, all they care about, and this is appropriate given that they are in the business of making money, is getting their taxes down. But that doesn't mean that we should buy into their sham argument, he told the BBC's Today program. You know, when you have idiots like this in the Labor Department, head of the Labor Department for the United States, it's not hard to see why we are bankrupt as a country. Global companies don't play one country off against another. And their primary objective, isn't tax mitigation. Their primary objective is to make a quality product, to offer that product effectively and efficiently, to have that product be superior to, differentiated from, and more desirable than their competitors' products. If they make a superior product, if they manufacture and offer that product at a value, they will prevail. They will make money. The residue of doing their primary job well is that they profit. All they really want from government is for government to play by the rules, so that if they do what they do best, that their business won't be stolen. That's really all they want. Just set down the rules, have the rules be reasonably laid out, and honor the rules. That's it. Nothing else. And yet, what the United States has done and what many European countries have done is they've been unable to manage their own finances as they have been lustful libertines as it relates to buying votes and trying to indulge their parishioners They have bankrupted their countries. They have done the opposite of what Apple has done. Rather than amassing a cash surplus, rather than offering a great product at a value, government has done the opposite. And in the process of doing so, they've gone after those who have been successful and tried to do everything they can to take their earnings and to control their businesses. And so what companies look at when they decide whether or not they're going to build a factory to make things in one country versus another is what it costs to establish and run a factory in one country versus another. The kind of labor laws that exist in the United States that have been created because unions have a more powerful voice than those who are not pro-union, because they provide so much money to politicians. They have made it such that the labor laws in the United States are not conducive to manufacturing products here. We are at a competitive disadvantage. They looked at cars here not all that long ago when cars were primarily made in the United States versus primarily made overseas, and that, of course, is not the case anymore. But at that time, just on an average-priced car, about 20% of the value of the car difference, the difference in the cost to make the car was in the cost associated with complying with labor laws in the United States. The pensions, the health care programs, and the inability to have workers be efficient. And that's really what that's the primary thing they look at. They also look at the overall restrictions, the regulations that governments put on businesses. You know, within reason, the freer that a business is to operate, the more efficient and more effective they will be. Businesses don't want to plunder the earth. That is not in their interest, because it is desirable for every business, particularly an international business, to have a positive reputation. You don't get a positive reputation by being a slumlord or having killing your employees or poisoning the earth. They're naturally inclined to do the right thing. It's governments that are naturally inclined to do the wrong thing. And so this idea that all that a business cares about is minimizing their taxation is about 20 issues down the line. Now, it is important. Don't get me wrong. When a government does what the American government has done and taxes businesses at 35%, and then you have states like California that add another 10 to 13% on top of that, and then there's payroll taxes on top of that, it becomes prohibitive. And so you can't make a product in America and sell it effectively on the world market. So what happens? It's not a sham argument that businesses try to minimize their cost, that they try to retain their earnings. And when their earnings are confiscated from them in the form of taxes, it precludes them reinvesting to make their manufacturing capabilities more efficient. This is what government has done. The problem is government. The problem is not the corporation. In its report into Apple, the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations Chairman Carl Levine said, Apple wasn't satisfied with shifting its profits to a low-tax offshore tax haven. Apple sought the holy grail of tax avoidance. It created offshore entities holding tens of billions of dollars while claiming to be a tax resident nowhere. That's not true. Every bit of that is untrue. The holy grail of tax avoidance is offshore accounts where you do not report your earnings that you have made in any one particular country, in that country, or anywhere else. Apple does not have accounts in the Caymans, for example. It's an absolute lie. But politicians are only good when their lips are flapping, in the sense that's all they know how to do. They know how to create little sound bites that sound wonderful. Holy grail. Tax avoidance. None of it's true. The fact is that the reason that Apple, which has well over $100 billion in cash reserves, keeps its cash in other countries is twofold. One is they sell the vast preponderance of their product in other countries. And so it's important that they have a cash reserve in those countries. And second, these same politicians are destroying the value of the dollar. Their inability to manage the American budget has destroyed the value of the U.S. dollar. And if all of your holdings are in dollars, particularly if it's in the 100 plus billion dollar range, you're losing value every day because your holdings are being taxed by inflation, by the devaluation of the currency. And the fact is that if you're going to park capital in a country, you ought to park it in a country whose economics are more sane than those in the United States. We are the world's largest debtor nation. We're a whisper away from what happened in Cyprus. Committee member John McCain said Apple claims to be the U.S. largest, be the largest U.S. corporate taxpayer, but the sheer size and scale is also among America's largest tax avoiders. Again, it's a lie. Oh, John McCain, too, is over there in Syria now, talking with the Syrian rebels, telling us how wonderful it'll be if America starts providing them with heavy arms and munitions. Yep, we'll have the same thing. Yep, old John McCain did in Libya, where that led to the Islamic fundamentalists, the Mujahideen, taking control of that country and ultimately killing the U.S. ambassador. Why didn't John fall on his sword and said I was wrong? But he couldn't do that, of course. Now he wants us, America, to do the same thing in Syria. And I want to tell you, while Assad is bad, those who oppose him are far worse. The same thing was true with Libya. Gaddafi was bad. Those who opposed him are worse. It was the same thing that is now true with Iraq. Saddam Hussein was a bad man. The government that is established there now, in that it is an offshoot of Iran, is vastly worse. We'll consider what old John McCain had to say, because he lied, when we return to Shattering Myths in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yetta. We're talking about one of my least favorite companies, but nonetheless, they deserve defending in this particular case. It is the likes of John McCain that are wrong. John McCain said Apple claims to be the largest U.S. corporate taxpayer. No, they don't. Tell the truth, John. If you have to lie to make your point, John, your point isn't worth making, John. Apple doesn't claim to be the largest U.S. corporate taxpayer. They claim to be among the largest. Huge difference between those two. John? He says, but the sheer size and scale, it's also among America's largest tax avoiders. That's not true either, John. Their payment of $6 billion in federal corporate tax and another $2 billion in state tax, at the federal level, it's a 30% rate. 30%, John. At 30%, they aren't even in the discussion of largest tax avoiders. Not even in the same country, John. What is it about you and your inability to tell the truth? Apple said in its statement, Apple does not move its intellectual property to offshore tax havens and use it to sell products back to the United States in order to avoid U.S. tax. That is the holy grail of tax avoidance. Apple says, we don't play that game. They could. It's legal. They don't. It does not use revolving loans from foreign subsidies to fund its domestic operations. It could, thereby diminishing the cost of U.S. taxation, but it doesn't. That would be part of the Holy Grail. Apple doesn't play that game. Apple does not hold money in any Caribbean island. It does not have a bank account in the Caymans, all of which are part of the Holy Grail of tax avoidance. In other words, the senator who claimed that they were the Holy Grail of tax avoidance because it was a wonderful soundbite, he lied. He added that it had substantial cash because it sells the majority of its products outside the United States, and these foreign earnings were taxed in the jurisdictions where they were earned. Fair, reasonable, appropriate. In September, the committee accused two firms of using such places as the Cayman Islands so that they do not have to pay U.S. taxes, saying that their methods ranged from egregious to dubious validity. Both companies deny wrongdoing. You know, what's egregious, what's dubious, is the Ponzi scheme that America has called Social Security. What's dubious, which egregious, is the Ponzi scheme that America has deployed called Medicare. What's dubious, what's egregious, is spending $750 billion a year on something that is only good at killing and destroying, the U.S. military. What's egregious and dubious is America going bankrupt and having its national debt now exceeding $17 trillion. Five of the top 10 companies with the biggest offshore balances are in the technology sector. Yes, because the nature of technology is if you do your research well, if you create a superior product, if you're willing to invest in the future, postpone gratification in that sector, then the margins you make on your product are superior, and your access to private capital is also superior. That's why they have such large cash balances. And no one with large cash balances would keep them in the United States because of what we're doing to the dollar. Apple said it wanted to see legislation that dramatically simplifies the U.S. corporate tax system in the context of an overall improvement in the tax system's efficiency, flexibility, and making businesses more competitive. Now, that would be too sane, wouldn't it? Apple drew criticism 3 weeks ago when it sold $17 billion in bonds to raise cash to fund payouts to shareholders rather than repatriating some of its cash reserves, which would have been taxed in the U.S. The move saved the company an estimated $9.2 billion in taxes. And its prepared testimony, Apple said that the move was in its shareholders' best interest. Now think about this for a while. Apple is a public company. It's owned by shareholders. Yeah, those shareholders can be anything from a union pension plan to a private company pension plan. But they're usually the largest investors. But it's owned by anybody that wants to buy a share of Apple stock. And Apple, doing the right thing for its shareholders, because they own the company, wanted to provide the shareholders with benefit for their shares. They made money. They wanted to share it with their shareholders. But when we return, we'll discuss why Apple didn't simply provide a dividend and who's really to blame for that. And it isn't Apple. We'll return in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're considering the brouhaha over Apple. Again, what's one of my least favorite companies. But when the U.S. government and its senators have a conniption fit over a company paying $6 billion in federal taxes, a couple of billion in state taxes, and several billion more in employment-related taxes, and who knows how many tens of billions in duties and import taxes, and they call them a tax avoider, an unpatriotic company that's cheating the American people. And I have a tendency to defend even companies I don't care for very much. In the case of the dividends, the reason that Apple didn't go through the normal dividend process is because it has been known for many decades that America's double taxation on dividend income is egregious. You see, if a company sells, let's just make it simple, sells $100 worth of products, and they make $5 profit after taxes on those products. Let's make it a little simple. That they sell $100 worth of product, their margin on those sales is $10. Now that would be a very healthy margin for most companies. $10 is what they made profit on those sales. Now, between all the various taxes, they are able to retain $5 of the $10 that they earned. The government in various states and localities and municipalities took $5 of the 10 that they earned. So they've got $5 left. Now, the company can choose to give that $5 to the shareholders who own the company. Or they can retain that $5, just put it in the bank, or they can reinvest that $5 in their business. And typically a company will do all three of those. But now of that $5, let's say that the company says, we're going to give $2 of it to our shareholders. After all, they put up the money for us to earn this profit. And we're going to take $2, we'll invest it in improving our plant. We'll take $1 of it and put it in the bank. All right. So they've already paid tax on the $10 that they earned, and they were left with $5, and they're going to give $2 of that now to the shareholders. Well, the government takes another slice and taxes the shareholders at ordinary income, which means that the shareholders, between state and federal taxes, are going to lose half of what the company has already paid taxes on. And so the government gets two swipes out of the same income, taking close to half of it the first time and half of it again the second time. That's the reason they don't do it. What the U.S. government does in this case is egregious. And so that's the reason why Apple came up with a better plan to take care of its shareholders than the absurdly egregious, onerous plan that's confiscatory by the U.S. government. Now, imagine for a moment if the U.S. government had to compete like businesses do. Apple doesn't force anybody to pay it money. It doesn't have a military or a judicial system that says, if you don't pay me money, if you don't pay me whatever I'm demanding from you, I will put you in jail. You see, Apple isn't like the mafia. It doesn't say, you know, you pay me or I'll kill you. Apple has to market their products. They have to make a superior product and encourage people to want to choose to, of their own volition, to exchange their money for their product. What if the U.S. government had to do that? What if the U.S. government says, you know, we're not going to tax you for education anymore. We're going to put out our schools, and we're going to let free enterprise put out their schools, and the people can choose who they want to pay to educate their children. How long do you think that public education would last? Let's say that the government pulls out of the $800 billion a year Medicare program and says, what we're going to do is we're going to get out of the healthcare business entirely in terms of taxation-based Ponzi schemes, but we're going to provide our own hospitals, we're going to provide our own healthcare capability, and you as a individual citizen can choose to go to a private hospital, a private doctor, or one of our hospitals and doctors. Your choice. How long do you think they would survive? What if the government says, okay, you know how superlative our financial and economic management is since we have bankrupt the country. Why don't you're going to give me a choice. We're not going to confiscate 15% of your money, 7 from you and 7 from your employment, to fund a Ponzi scheme called Social Security. What we're going to do is we're going to offer federal retirement programs where we'll invest your money. Yep, we're going to have these same senators, old John McCain, going to be responsible for investing your money, or you can use a private company to manage and invest your money. How do you think the U.S. government would compete? What if the U.S. government were to tell each state, say, go to Kansas and say, you know, Kansas, we know that that managing this huge defense department is expensive. We spend $750 billion a year. We claim that we're protecting your freedom, but, of course, we haven't done anything to protect American freedom in the last 50 years. So we're going to give you the option. You can choose to pay your share, 1/50th of the defense cost. Or you can say, you know, I'm just going to opt out. I'll deal with the Canadians, those wild and crazy Canucks and their hockey sticks, and I'll deal with the Mexicans and their sombreros, and we'll do without the U.S. military here in Kansas. How many states would opt out? All of them? You see, the United States government is tyrannical. It doesn't offer its products on a volition basis. There's no free will. There's no choice. There's no freedom as to whether or not you wish to participate or opt out. This whole myth that the United States stands for freedom, it's a crock. No, you are forced. They take your money and you have to play. The opposite of businesses that have to earn your respect. While critics argue that companies shifting their profits overseas is a huge tax avoidance scheme, others want lower taxes here to encourage firms to invest in the U.S. Yeah, if we didn't have the highest tax rates in the world, then the United States would still be a place where goods would be manufactured because we have one of the largest markets in the world and people would make product here. But the reason they don't is because our tax rates are egregious. Last week, Cisco Chief Executive John Chambers said that his company was likely to invest more overseas. That is, unless U.S. tax laws were modified. Quote, I prefer to have the majority of my employees here in America. That's the right decision for us. But we can't bring our cash back. We're not going to grow dramatically. We're going to grow dramatically faster overseas in terms of job placements, he told CNBC. And then he explained why that was the case. That the United States government, run by politicians who are economic ignoramuses, have consistently increased the level of regulations and increased taxation to the point where it is nearly impossible to manufacture anything in the United States efficiently. U.S. Is not the only country trying to ensure that big companies pay their, quote, fair share of taxes. You know, it's disgusting when they talk about fair share. It's immoral. It's egregious. They don't want them to pay their fair share. They want to confiscate what they have. Nothing fair about it. A follow-up article, committee member John, I just love a war, McCain, said that the action taken by Apple was legal, but it could be unfair to other countries, companies. You know, when the government wanted to start taxing Internet transactions, you know, if you don't have a nexus in a state, you cannot and should not collect sales tax in that state. Nexus in a state means if I have an Internet company and I'm located in Hawaii and somebody in Pennsylvania wants to buy my widget, my spike of sugar cane, I cannot and should not collect sales tax on that transaction because I have no presence, no business whatsoever in Pennsylvania. But old John McCain and fellow senators said, oh, but that's unfair to brick and mortar. That's unfair to the little store, mom and pop. They're the sells sugar cane in their store in Pennsylvania because they do have to collect sales tax. Well, simple solution. Change the tax policy so that mom and pop store doesn't have to discourage sales by charging people a tax. You know, anytime I buy something, anytime you buy something, you're discouraged from doing it because you're trying just to, you know, repair something in your home. You're trying to acquire something that you need. And every time you do so, the government takes a 5, 10, 15% slice out of the pie. They say, yeah, we're going to add that to the cost of your transaction. Discouraging commerce. So rather than encourage commerce and eliminating the sales tax, no. The government said, let's tax more people. That'll be fair. And this idea that they're floating here is, oh, no, John doesn't want to make it sound like that the U.S. government is the one who is greedy. Of course not. I'm saying this because it's unfair to the little company that this big company, Apple, is not paying all the taxes that a little company would pay. Now, of course, it's not true. But by the way, John, how many little companies that do you know that are in the computer business? How many little companies, John, do you know that are in the cellular telephone business? he's lying through his teeth. Apple has a stockpile of $145 billion in capital. Of that, $102 billion of it is held offshore, so about two-thirds of it's offshore. It's about the ratio of Apple's overall sales, about two-thirds is international. This, of course, is not isolated in the United States. The same kind of malfeasance is also present in Europe. It's why the entire Western world is going to collapse. It's inevitable. The EU partners, according to the BBC, have met in Austria, the country in central Europe, in Austria, for the express purpose of cracking down on tax evasion. They're going after wealthy individuals and corporations, making sure that they do not get off lightly, that they are going to go to war against them. And they're going to, according to this article, change the playing field so that there are global controls over businesses. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. There's a related story that came to my attention 4 or 5 days ago. Pope Francis has called on the world leaders to end the cult of money. Now, if there was ever a cult of money, if you think of cults as typically a religious institution, fixated on accumulating money, particularly taking money from the poor and retaining it so that they become infinitely powerful and ultimately control people via their money. Would not the Roman Catholic Church be the poster child of this? I mean, you look at an impoverished country and yet the gold-laden cathedrals that dominate that landscape. You know, when I had a friend, and this was decades ago, that was worked for Union Bank, they were just one of many American banks and banks around the world managing the capital of the Roman Catholic Church. And their CDs, their certificates of deposits, were in denominations of $1 billion. They were managing billions of dollars. I mean, if there was ever a cult of money, it's the Roman Catholic Church. And yet here's this man, this hypocrite, saying that world leaders ought to end the cult of money. Well, then, why don't you, as the head of the Roman Catholic Church, disgorge all of the money that you have around the world? Why don't you sell your cathedrals, the land that they're on, the gold that is in them? Why not sell them? Why not give the money to the poor? Why not disgorge all of the money you've taken from people while you're abusing their children? Give it all back to them. You could lead the way, Pope Francis. But don't be a hypocrite. He says, and do more for the poor, in his first major speech on the financial crisis. Yeah. Lead by example. Disgorge the billions, the tens if not hundreds of billions that you've confiscated from people over the years, promising them things that you can't deliver upon. He said free market economics had created a tyranny. So rather than the dictators being tyrannical, no, it's free markets that are tyrannical. You see, the Roman Catholic Church doesn't like freedom. They were happiest when they were operating in a Europe which was wholly tyrannical, where the amalgamation of cleric and king created a lord and serf environment where people had no freedom, where all of the money was amassed between the church and the royals. And the thing that dissolved the yoke on the masses was free markets. And so what does this idiot say? That free markets have created a tyranny. And what does the journalist that's reporting the story say? Nothing. Wait a minute. No, I'm not going to challenge that. I'm not going to say, no, the opposite is true with both statements that he's made. No. Free market economists had created a tyranny in which people were valued only on their ability to consume, the pontiff told diplomats in the Vatican. What rubbish. You know, economic schemes, all of them, are based on the idea of capitalism, all of them. You know, it's your capital is what is used to produce products and services. Capital comes in two primary forms, money and people's ability, employees, to contribute to the process. Those are your two assets in any capitalistic system. Now, in a communist system, the state owns all of the money and all of the assets. In a fascist system, the state controls all of the money and all of the assets. In a free enterprise system, the state neither owns nor controls the assets. Individuals do. It is the least tyrannical. And it is based not on valuing a person based upon their consumption. It is based instead on individuals running businesses, looking at how they themselves can do a better job with their employees and with their capital to make a superior product, so that people will choose to enrich their lives by that product. What a world that we've come to. His next statement was, money has to serve, not rule, he said, urging ethical financial reforms. The least ethical institution on the planet today is urging ethical reforms. Why don't they just dissolve themselves? That would be a moral move. We'll return to the second half of Shattering Myths in a moment.